Hey, baseball fans, you're going to love this. Today's episode is brought to you by the Sports Card Investor app. Welcome to the world of trading cards reimagined. Stay tuned later in the show for more information about this awesome new tool for collectors. You're going to want to check out the Sports Card Investor app. And this is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast to talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. If you don't believe me, I'm going to put on my lower third any second now. There it is. Feel free to call me Sully. The show is being dropped on the 22nd day of June 2022, the second longest day of the year. And thanks so much for making us your first listeners. We're available on all your free podcasting catchers. Hey, Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates is coming on the show. He's an old friend of the podcast, and he is quite happy that the Pirates did the unthinkable. They made a decision that made their team better. In case you wonder, we're going to be going to the weather report. In hell, it's freezing, and the Pirates are making their team better. Follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. A lot of big games are being played, but one of the biggest pieces of news took place for a team that isn't always in the spotlight. And guess what? I got an angry, Apple Podcast review saying, all you do is talk about the big market teams. You know, like how I talk about the Diamondbacks every Monday, like we've just been covering the Twins and Cleveland. Well, guess what? Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's happening with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and who better than to do that than the sinister, mysterious, recording from his evil lair, Ethan Smith. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Sully. As I told you before we started recording, and as everybody will know, the Pirates are undefeated with O'Neill Cruz on the roster right now, along with Bly Madris. And I've been wearing sunglasses watching the games, and they have not lost since. So these are not coming off of my face until they lose.
Well, you're wearing sunglasses. You're also completely in darkness. We see the computer reflected in there. I'm assuming you're recording this from a shack in the wilderness where you're writing your manifesto at the time.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I've been following you. You know that. I've been following you, and you have been screaming for O'Neill Cruz to be brought up to the Pirates, and it seemed like they brought everybody else up, including digging up the corpse of Honus Wagner before bringing it up O'Neill Cruz. Now, folks, let's have Ethan Smith, the notorious Ethan Smith, tell us a little bit about O'Neill Cruz and why you've been wanting him on the Major League roster in Pittsburgh for so long.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and start with this, Sully, by the way. You forgot Ralph Kiner. He got called up before him as well. But O'Neill Cruz, first of all, 6'7" shortstop, much like Aaron Judge. He's a tall being. In his first game in 2022, which was not his MLB debut, because if we remember last year, he hit his first MLB home run near the end of the year against the Cincinnati Reds. He not only had the fastest exit velocity hit of any Pirate this year, he also had the fastest sprint speed of any Pirate this year, and the fastest thrown ball by any position player on the Pirates this year, all in the first five innings of being on the team in 2022. Of course, the Pirates win 12-1 Monday night. They went 7-1 last night. And O'Neill Cruz, in every single game he has played at the major league level, has a base hit. So far this year, 5 RBIs. I think it speaks for itself in terms of what O'Neill Cruz is doing already for this baseball team. And it's just sad that I've had Sully, I've had Lindsey Crosby of Locked On MLB Prospects, I've had Bryce Patterick of Locked On Rangers, I've had pretty much the whole Locked On network wondering about my mental health if they were ever going to call up O'Neill Cruz, but they finally did it. And obviously, as you alluded to in the intro, Sully, it made the team better. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a second. The Pirates are making the team better by calling these guys up. And Bly Madris is also just getting lost in the fold here, too, because, I mean, the guy had a three-hit game last night, and he was like the first Pirate in like 75 years to have like three hits in his first game with a stolen base and all kinds of other random stats. Gotta love the Statcast era, of course. And I don't know if you saw the video yet, Sully, of O'Neal Cruz throwing his bat.
Oh, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, yeah. I did. Yes.
Threw it over the netting of PNC Park. I wonder what the exit velo on him throwing the bat was. The man can do no wrong. Let's just say that for the most part.
Well, look, I've been saying that the one of the biggest things that did not come about from the avoidance of the prolonged work stoppage is we need to give teams incentive to always put the best 25 or whatever. How many, is it 26 now? However big the okay, the best 26 players in the organizations who are healthy should be on the major league roster. So having a player like O'Neal Cruz, who very clearly had outgrown AAA, who should have been on the major league roster, is in the minor leagues for manipulating service time. And for a team like the Pirates, and we saw a few years ago, the Mariners were bragging that, oh, we're not going to bring our best players up because we're going to manipulate that service time. And lo and behold, look at the organizations who are doing this. The Mariners have the longest postseason drought of any team in Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, and the NFL. And the Pirates, since the beginning of the wildcard era, have made the postseason a grand total of three times. And yet these two teams are bragging about how they can, you know, manipulate service time and not put the best players up. It behooves the quality of the game to know that the major league teams are filled with the best players. Now, yes, I can understand wanting to make sure that you don't rush all your prospects up. This was not a rush job. This is late June of a player who, all right, you want to start him in the minor leagues for the season? Maybe I can see that. But for a team like the Pirates, put your best team on the field. I mean, I can't believe that that concept is revolutionary. That should be a given. And the incentives that prevent teams from putting the best product on the field have to be taken away.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing that I think it gets even more infuriating about it is before that 9-game slump that the Pirates had like about a week and a half ago where they lost to St. Louis, Detroit, and Atlanta, imagine if O'Neal Cruz was on this roster around that point. Imagine if that 9-game slump doesn't happen. They're 28-37 right now, which isn't, or 29-37, something like that right now.
Right.
You take, say they win three of those games out of that 9-game stretch. You're not talking wild card, but you're definitely not saying, oh, we're just in the gutter right now. And again, they're a third place baseball team right now in the NL Central. Is that bragging a lot? Not really. Because the Reds and the Cubs right now, no offense to our wonderful hosts over there at those shows, and Jeff Carr, our wonderful channel manager here at Locked On MLB, but the Reds and the Cubs stink. It's not like a hidden commodity at this point. And this is one thing that I think the Pirates, in this form of the youth movement and the rebuild and getting back to a competitive atmosphere, need to do. Right now, the Cubs are a worse team than the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yes.
If you would have told me that before I went into this year, I would have laughed in your face. I would have told you were stupid. But beating teams that you are better than right now and should be beating, to me, is the first step into the Pirates eventually being a competitive team again. And they're taking those necessary steps against Chicago right now, outscoring them 19-2 in two games with O'Neal Cruz in the lineup.
Well, keep this in mind also, how fast things can turn around this division. Last year, around this time, the Cubs were in first place after winning the division in the COVID season and after being a regular in the postseason 2015, 2016, obviously 2017, and being a wild card team in 2018. You know, they missed it in 2019, but they were back in the playoffs in the truncated season of 2020. And we're a first-place team into June before they had one slump and immediately put two sticks of dynamite in the team. Cincinnati was tied for a wild-card spot in mid-September. With only 3 weeks to go, they were tied for a playoff position. And now both of them are minor league teams. The Cubs are a minor league team. The Reds are a minor league team. And all it really takes is a slump from either Milwaukee or St. Louis. And suddenly the Pirates could look at themselves and say, we may have an, not saying a great chance, but at least an outside shot. And there are two ways you do that. And I talked about this ad nauseum in the offseason. But when there are major league players just sitting there available, no one's signing them, and you're the Pirates, and you can put a major league player at each position, go ahead and give it a shot. Worst thing that happens, you DFA them. The best thing that happens, you catch lightning in a bottle. But the other thing is you have your best players on the field. And take a look at what has happened in just the last, you know, week or so. Not only do you have O'Neill Cruz having that dynamic debut of this year and having a terrific game again today, but you have Sawinski hitting three home runs in one game, including the walk-off shot against San Francisco. Well, guess what? Sawinski is 23 years old. O'Neill Cruz is also in his early 20s. Ke'Bryan Hayes is in his 20s. You have, you know, Diego Castillo, not a great player, but he's in his 20s. Michael Chavis in his 20s. Perez in his 20s. Brian Reynolds in his 20s. How many players, young players, do you have on this team? And one thing that I cannot claim that I'm a Pittsburgh fan, but I get a sense of one thing Pittsburgh fans like are young players playing above their heads. And maybe, I don't know, just maybe you can make the team appealing this summer and say, hey, come see the Pirates. They may not win the championship, but they're young, exciting players and get on the ground floor.
Yeah, and I think that's what the O'Neill Cruz effect is going to eventually have and already kind of does is, I mean, they're trying to sell tickets and O'Neill Cruz is going to sell you tickets. How often are you going to get to see a guy who's 6'7" play shortstop and do the things that he does on a daily basis? Not just like, oh, he hit a ball 110 miles per hour one time and that was it. Almost every single time the ball comes off of his bat, he's hitting it 110, 111 miles per hour. He already has three of the top five exit velocities on the Pirates, and he's been on the team for two games. That's not easy to do. Now, I will say he's going to have to get used to not seeing fastballs. I'll go ahead and tell him that, because if somebody gives him a hanging fastball, it's going to end up in the Allegheny River, which I don't think anybody wants to happen, but that's just dangerous, and the fact that he already has that kind of reputation at the major league level, and he's played a grand total of four games at the major league level in his career is nuts. And, I mean, I'm not saying O'Neill Cruz is like this generational guy that's going to be the next Juan Soto, but
who knows? He could be a regular. You never know. And do you know what this reminds me of? I used to be a teenager, and there would be a hot young prospect. Now, sometimes I would buy tons of baseball cards of top young prospects. I think I have way too many Greg Jeffries cards
in my possessions.
But I have a bunch of Ken Griffey Jr. cards. I got a young Maurice Vaughn. I have a Olympic team card featuring a very trim Jason Giambi. Interesting how his body changed when he made it. But I used to love when you got that young player. And I used to open up those baseball cards. You'd see that young player, that Bo Jackson, that Gary Sheffield was another one who was a big big prospect coming up. Sandy Alomar Jr. was a big prospect. You know, you would get so excited because you got that young prospect. And O'Neill Cruz could be that person for those people out there who are collecting cards and look at their value. And Ethan Smith, I think you and I both know where I'm going with this. The whole idea of collecting cards, it's so different than the world that I grew up collecting cards. Why don't you tell us a little bit about part of the baseball card collecting world that's changed here in 2022.
Oh, yeah. So you got Sports Card Investor. Of course, Sports Card Investor, one of our wonderful partners here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Can't ever go wrong with them. Welcome to the world of sports cards reimagined. You see these bad boys that I got right here? They're all Topps cards. We're looking at one right now. Active MLB home run leaders. You got Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, and Nelson Cruz, all card, all of that stuff. And you want to know the value of that card? Well, you go to Sports Card Investor. And I actually just pulled up the Sports Card Investor app. And you look right here, and that's the first guy that pops up, Mr. Jack Sawinski, a Chrome Prospect Auto Refractor card, which has went up 185.5% and 330.1% in the last 30 days. It tells you where you can buy it. It tells you the value of the card. So if you're looking to buy the card or sell the card, it's almost like a house. You get to see the value of it before you even step foot in it or even have your hands on it. Looking at some other ones, we even have Pittsburgh legend, the Red Beard himself, Colin Moran, in the flesh right there for you. But Sports Card Investor, a phenomenal place to go. The Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. Quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love of collecting baseball cards. Available completely free in the Google Play and Apple Store app stores, the Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for baseball fans. It's completely free, and you can easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. So check the latest values of your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts, and find the best prices and buy directly through the app with our eBay Deals feature. By the way, download the Sports Card Investor app today. Again, it's available for free. Again, in the economy we live in, it's free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon, which is actually a forward slash, by the way. Backslashes don't exist in this world of the internet. But again, go get you some baseball cards. You know, they're always fun to have. They're a good coaster if you get the really cheap ones. You know, you never know. But this Jack Sawinski card, by the way, is actually really awesome.
Well, look, I got one more thing to say about that. On live NBA draft show is not enough for the Locked On Network. One isn't enough. We got the entire NBA channel going live on NBA draft night. So if you're an NBA team that's going to make a draft, you can subscribe now to the Locked On YouTube channel to get notified when they go live on NBA draft night. Now, the NBA draft is starting on this Thursday. And for those of you keeping track, I am currently projected to go number 44 to the Atlanta Hawks. So keep your eye out. Your pal Sully may be in a Hawks jersey next year. Cross our fingers. This could be the year I finally get drafted. Hey, while you and I have been talking ever so pleasantly, the Pittsburgh Pirates defeated the Chicago Cubs, and it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. The final score was 7-1. Now, you know, we alluded to the fact that the Cubs are not a good team, but do you know what? If the Pirates want to make any movement, and they're 11 games under 500, no one's talking about them being a wild card team, but it would go a long way, I think, if they avoid a 90-loss season. I think if they avoid a 90-loss season, they've got prospects in there. Obviously, they'll probably make a trade. They'll trade away players who are about to go into free agency, so they can get something in return for them. But the fact of the matter is, I do think that if the Pirates finish this year avoiding 90 losses, and you take a look at some of the foundational pieces that they're having with this team, and they made the investment to keep Hayes for the next bunch of years, that you could look at them as a team and say, hey, look at the Cubs and the Reds aren't anywhere near where they're supposed to be. The Brewers are a type of team that isn't going to have a gigantic window of opportunity. And okay, the Cardinals are always going to be contenders, but they've had slumps before. What do you think the most optimistic point of view you could have moving forward for this Pirates team, putting together at least a season where they're climb over the 90 loss hurdle and maybe have images of being one of the wildcard teams dancing in their head for 2023.
Yeah, and I think those are very valid to look at. And I mean, you look at how this schedule looks for them over the next couple of weeks. It's not like a death grip, I would say. I mean, you get the Brewers, but you get Tampa Bay, good teams. The Nationals are sprinkled in there. I'm sure we could put the Nationals and the Cubs pretty much in the same light of each other. Then you get a nice little two-game set against the Yankees, but then you're playing the Reds and the Brewers again. You split those games with the Brewers, say, that's being optimistic here. Beat the Reds handedly, and then the Yankees kind of handle you because that's what I'm expecting. Even then, you're at least treading ground. And I think a lot of it is still player-centric. I think we still want to see the starting pitching staff continue to improve like it has. Like Rowanzi Contreras pitched well tonight, 5 innings of work.
That's right.
One earned run. JT Brubaker picked up his first win, which I jokingly said he was the best 0-7 pitcher I've ever seen in my entire life, because he has like a 4.11 ERA and was 0-7 going into that game. But he picked up his first win on Monday with 6 scoreless innings. And the Pirates sneakily as a team have about a 4-4 ERA as an entire team, which is not that bad in retrospect to compared to a lot of other teams in the league. It's not great either, but I definitely think that pitching is one thing that has been their strong suit. Now the offense all of a sudden is starting to come along. If those two things can be a cohesive unit together, which I know it's kind of arbitrary to just be like, oh yeah, pitch well and hit the baseball. But Sully, that's what we talk about every day. People pitching well and hitting the baseball. So if the Pirates can manage to do that going into the All-Star break, I think the All-Star break needs to be a benchmark for this team. I think they need to have a goal in mind saying, we want to have this many wins before we go into the All-Star break. Whatever right. that number is, I don't know what that number is, but I'd say as long as you're not 15 games under 500 by the time the All-Star game or All-Star break comes around, say you're in the same position you're in now, about 10 games under, I consider that a win.
By the way, I want to just bring up one thing. You're bringing up some of the, it's always kind of dangerous to start listing, well, you know, this team's better than us, they're going to win that series, or this team, we're better than them, we're going to lose that series. You know, teams can go on slumps, even good teams. Milwaukee right now is in first place, and I picked them to win the Central. A lot of people did. They went on an 8-game losing streak earlier this year. You know, teams can go on slumps. They're very rare teams. Even the 2017 Dodgers, who won, 106, 107 games, however much they won that year, they went on a horrible slump at one point. Every team hits a bad point, and one surefire way to hit a bad point is to have a team that is looked upon as an underdog, looked upon as an easy win, take advantage of that, come in relaxed, have a bunch of new young players they may not have scouted for yet, and maybe some of those teams that you're looking at who are circling the Pirates on their schedule as, well, okay, there's a series win right there, are going to look up and say, oh, man, I can't believe we dropped 2-3 to Pittsburgh. And I think no small part of it, believe me, I know many, many San Francisco Giant fans. The Giants, you know, full disclosure, are my favorite team in the National League. I did not expect to see them drop a game where some guy I'd never heard of before hit 3 home runs, including a walk-off shot in the bottom of the ninth. I guarantee you every single Giant fan who wasn't hungover from the NBA Finals thought that that was an easy win for them that night. Or afternoon, whenever the hell they played that game. But for a team like the Pirates, who are seeing some of this talent come up, that can energize the club in ways that are real and tangible and could potentially throw a couple more W's in there.
Oh, yeah, of course. And that's where I think a lot of the excitement comes from. And for me, I'm very excited just because of the fact that I finally get to watch O'Neal Cruz play baseball every single day. I'm also excited to the fact that you alluded to the slumps and everything. Since the Pirates swept the Dodgers, once they were the best team in baseball record-wise, The Dodgers are 7-11 since that series.
Give me a
which
Slurpee.
Is very interesting. Very yeah. interesting.
And the Padres.
Oh, yeah. But somehow the Dodgers are also still leading that division, which is insane to me. But anyways, enough about the NL West. The Pirates, by the way, which they've played phenomenal against those teams. It's just nice for Pirates fans, and this is something for the Pirates fans listening or anybody listening who roots for a team like the Pirates. I mean, Royals fans, Nationals. There's going to come a point in all of the rebuilds that these teams are in. Like, I think you're even kind of seeing it a little bit in Baltimore right now mm-hmm. with Austin Hayes, Adley Rutschman, Trey Mancini. You're starting to see them even kind of turn a corner a little bit too. But once you turn that corner, you're not just going to turn the corner and be right on the straightaway to the finish line.
Right.
You're going to have another about 20, 30 miles to go before you can finally get to that next rest stop and finally get your bladder unclogged. Like, it's going to take a second. It's going to take a minute.
This analogy went down a weird path, but
it did. I didn't think I was going to go that way, but that's what popped in my head. I'm a Pirates fan. You know, we're kind of wacko in the head sometimes. But basically what I'm saying is the Pirates are turning a corner, and I think people are starting to see that. They're making a move in the right direction, but they still have a long way to go. We said they're 11 games under 500. That's right. Not good. But now that you have your arguably best players on the 26-man roster now, I say arguably because there's some guys that do not need to be on this team, and I'm not going to name drop people because I'm going to be nice. I'll just talk about it tomorrow on Locked On Pirates.
That's where the cynicism is, where it's your cynicism every day.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, it reminds me of that, like the Royals need to have that 2013 season where they wound up having a winning record. They didn't win the division, but they had that winning record and kind of was a springboard year for their back-to-back pennants in 2014 and finally winning the World Series in 2015. Sometimes you need to have that airlock. You take a look, Baltimore is a great example, you know, who they've been since the Encarnacion home run off of a pitcher not named Zach Britton in the wild card game. The Orioles have been just the definition of a tomato can, and you're starting to see they are not pushovers. In fact, they actually have a very good bullpen there. You're going to see them. They're probably going to be a team that has a losing record because they're in a division with, you know, New York and Boston and Toronto and Tampa Bay. I know that the schedule is not weighted for divisions. It is kind of a balanced schedule. So that's not maybe as much of a factor as you would normally have. But I have a feeling they're going to win mid-70s and have their loss total under 90 games. And I bet you by 2023, the Baltimore Orioles are going to be contenders. This is a chance if we're going to go all 1979 World Series reunion. This might be the time for the Pirates to try to make that turn. And do you know what? That was the last year that they made those kind of memories and got the jewelry that those fans wanted to see them wear. And if you want to get jewelry for great memories, may I recommend BlueNile.com. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as the one you love with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will handcraft their perfect engagement ring for your loved one to have and cherish. Each ring is one of a kind. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On MLB listeners will get $50 off any purchase of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings. I know you didn't think it would, but it does. Use code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Every order is insured, ships for free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. By the way, I have to say I'm absolutely stunned that Tony La Russa still has a job. I'm absolutely stunned that Scott Servais, with all the money that Seattle poured into the team, that he still has a job. And you know what? I think those two teams should make announcements saying, hey, we need to hire someone. And my recommendation for the White Sox and the Mariners is go to LinkedIn Jobs. You know, LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to grow your team. They help you find the right people you want to interview fast and for free. Create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people, including Joe Girardi and Joe Maddon. Then add your job with a purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire, like Joe Maddon and Joe Girardi. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire, like Joe Girardi and Joe Maddon. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. And of course, this goes without saying, terms and conditions apply. Hey, we're here with Ethan Smith, who is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. He's the host of Lockdown Pirates. And it's going to be, of course, next year, it's going to be an interesting year as the Pirates will be the National League champions. Will they win the World Series? We will see. I think they've got a good shot to beat Baltimore. But we're taking a look at things. By the way, taking a quick look around the league right now, some great pitchers' duels like the Marlins over the Rockies, 9-8. Really good pitching in that. By the way, that game was not in Coors. 9-8 game. Oh, that's in Coors. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Hey, stop the presses. The Yankees actually lost a game. They lost a game by a final count of 5-4 to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, by the way, fell out of a wild card spot. You know, they may climb back today. I'm not 100% sure how it worked, but they briefly fell out of a wild card spot, partly because Boston's been playing well, and Boston wearing those UCLA uniforms that are weird, got a big home run from Trevor Story. And Rich Hill got the victory, a rare victory, because they will not hit for him. They're contractually obligated to not hit for him, but 5-4 over the Detroit Tigers. As we're recording this, the Guardians and Twins are tied 5-5 in the 10th inning. So we're going to see how that turns out. Another great pitching duel. When you think of great pitching, I think of San Francisco and Atlanta. So naturally, that's 12-10. Baseball is a weird sport. The Cubs were on a 10-game losing streak. The Braves were on a 14-game winning streak, and the Cubs won that series. Baseball is very, very weird. The Astros are smacking around the Mets right now. And in what is a critical game for the National League Central, the Cardinals are topping the Brewers 4-2 at this moment. We'll see how that turns out. Shohei Ohtani is not pitching well. Oh, wait, no, he's at bat. No, he's pitching so poorly that he's not pitching in the Royals and Angels game. And others good. The Dodgers, who fell behind early to the Reds, turns out they were just giving them a head start. Even without Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman drove in 5 runs. So the LA Dodgers won that 8-2. So that's just a quick look at some of the other games in the league. I am very eager to see what happened in the Guardians-Twins game. I had Jeff Ellis and Brandon Warren talking about that in yesterday's game. So, yesterday's podcast. So, Ethan Smith, just a quick little run around. Let's wrap this up here. It feels good to have your best players on the team. To have, you know, because we were worried about you. In fact, this was going to be a lockdown crossover intervention if they didn't call him up soon. But now you're seeing them putting the best team on the field. This is probably going to make the rest of 22 at least interesting and with sparkles of hope.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you're talking about I get to watch Key Brian Hayes every day. I get to watch O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, David Bednar, Ronzi Contreras. Last year, I was watching John Nogalski play first base.
Yes.
Never forget Pirates legend Todd Frazier.
Yes.
Was a first baseman in spring training last year. Pirates have moved on from that a little bit. Now, I will say for Pirates fans, it's going to get a little interesting here in about a week or two because Kevin Newman, Ben Gamel, and Yoshi Tsutsugo are all on rehab assignments in AAA at the same time, which means more than likely they're all going to come up around the same time. So the Pirates are going to have some real decisions to make with these veterans on if they just bring them back up and move a guy down, or if they say, hey, Buck, you're out. And I'll be honest with you, Sully, if it was up to me, I'd pick the latter. Of those three guys I told you that I just named, Ben Gamble is the only one I want back because the dude is a firecracker in the outfield. He catches everything. It's great. Kevin Newman, I've seen enough. Former first-round pick, I'm done with it. I don't care. I have O'Neill Cruz at shortstop now. Do I really need Yoshi Tsutsugo to come play first base for me when Bly Madris is hitting the ball everywhere imaginable at PNC? No. And Michael Chavis is drawing three walks in a game. And Daniel Vogelbach draws two tonight as well. I don't need it. I don't. Honestly, I'm so past not seeing these guys play that I'm so used to seeing the young guys play now that if they try to bring these veterans back and let them play, I might just get really angry.
Well, you also could take advantage of some of these contending teams that are having injuries. You know, Newman's an infielder. Ozzie Albies is injured. You know, Newman is a major leaguer. Is he a great major leaguer? No. But last year, the Braves really thrived in picking up major leaguers to fill in gaps. Is Kevin Newman an all-star? No, but if you come up to the Braves and say, hey, look it, take Kevin Newman off our hands, give us, tickets to see Reba McEntire. I don't know what you get. You don't have to get even much back in return. You're allowing the young players to play in so many ways is what you're getting in return. So anything you get for a Kevin Newman is almost a bonus. And for a team like Atlanta, I'm just pulling it out because Albies got injured recently and Newman can play shortstop on second. You could say you could have Newman filling in for the time being. And if Albies comes back, you've got depth on your bench. And like right there, that allows, again, what you get back for Newman is almost not important. You know, whatever you get back from him, what you're getting is a chance to get younger and to turn the page. That's what I think is if the Pirates should be talking to some teams that have injuries to say, hey, look, here's an inexpensive way to get some spackle on your team and give the Pirates a chance to continue to be younger and more athletic. Cause you know what? I mean, Kevin Newman is a major league baseball player. Has been for the last, 4 or 5 years. And I am not a Major League Baseball player. Anyone who makes it to the major leagues for even a day is an extraordinary talent. We all know that. But Kevin Newman is not going to be a difference maker on this Pirate team. And he could be depth on a contender. And I think the message that you'd be sending to the Pirates and to the fans to buy tickets is we're investing in a team that's going to be good in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and that's the message that I hope they continue to send. They're trying to send it right now. It's a little difficult because you have the parts of the fan base that think everything they say is horse manure. And then you have the other part of the fan base, which is the part of the fan base I am. So if you come listen to the Locked On Pirates podcast, you'll hear it. I'm the optimistic part of the fan base. I take a look at these prospects. Again, not all these prospects are going to be diamonds in the rough like we think they are and like we hope they will be. I hope that all of them are good, because if they are, then you have a really major fun problem on your hands of having 90 players that all are trying to fit into 26 spots. But guess what? Never happens. But there's enough guys, I think, to garner a lot of attention, because you're already looking at what you have this year. That's not including you have Henry Davis next year, Quinn Priester next year, Carmen Majinski, Mike Burrows, Nick Gonzalez, Leover Piguero, who even got called up for a couple days because of a COVID stint from Tucapino Marcano. The list goes on and on. And then let's not also forget the MLB draft is next month, and this Pirates team has a top five pick. It's only going to get better. It's only going to continue to get better, and I think that's the beautiful thing about what's going on in Pittsburgh right now.
And right now the Athletic is projecting Cam Collier, who's a third baseman from Chipola College, to being their number four pick overall. But who knows? Who knows who it's going to be? I mean, I'm always wanted a college pitcher to be drafted because they usually shoot up the system so quickly. But who knows? You draft who's best player available. And if I'm going to be drafting Pittsburgh podcasters, the best podcaster available in the draft is Ethan Smith. Hey, Ethan, tell people where they can listen to your fantastic show.
Same place you listen to Sully all the time. You can listen to me on YouTube. We actually just surpassed 300 subscribers yesterday. Thank you guys for that. You can also listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Stitcher, Megaphone, pretty much anywhere you find a podcast. I probably will pop up. Just look up Locked On Pirates. Follow me on Twitter at @MVP_Ethan and at Locked On Pirates for all of your news on the Pittsburgh Pirates every single day.
And you can follow us at Locked.MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram, talking about the Pirates and doing so with a little bit of optimism with Ethan Smith from Locked On Pirates. This has been a Locked On MLB, Locked On Pirates crossover. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. And hey, before we log out, let's just talk one last thing about the NBA mock draft. The first picks of the ultimate NBA mock draft have been made. Search now for ultimate NBA mock draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey sports expert, the draft experts of Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode ultimate NBA mock draft is underway. Make ultimate NBA mock draft your second listen today. Or maybe your third after Locked On Pirates.